Genworth has a policy that is hidden so far deep in someone's drawer that when we ask for it, they got to blow the dust off it to bring it out. And I'm going to tell you something. This particular policy I'm about to explain to you, I've used 3 times. Every single time we've used it, I remember last time I had to use it, I asked my underwriter to phone GE, and I said, yeah, we can do this. Just phone them, and they can do this. So he phoned up, and they said, no, I'm sorry, sir, we can't do that. He turned to me, and he said, they can't do it, Pete. And I said, ask to talk to her boss. Talk to the boss. I'm sorry, sir, no, that's not possible. We have no such policy at General GE. Elwin turned to me and goes, they can't do it. And I said, ask to talk to his boss. I'm not making this up. We went to 3 levels of bosses, and finally somebody said, oh, actually, you guys are right. You can do this. 3 levels of people in Toronto at head office at GE did not know that this policy existed. And every single time I use this, I have to go through 3 levels, and we go through the same thing. Yeah, we know it's no. Go talk to your boss. Yeah, I know it's no. Go talk to your boss. Find somebody who understands. So finally, I sat down with the head of the in Vancouver last week, and I said, I'm sick and tired of this. I know you guys can do this. I know I'm the only mortgage broker in Canada that knows this, and I know that you guys don't know, but I know you can do this. I want it in writing. So because I'm speaking to a RAIN member group, and because I said I'm talking to a group of investors, we got it in writing that we can do this. So follow the bouncing ball, because I don't have handouts on this yet, and I haven't written this, so this is the only slide. If you have 8 properties, and if you have owned those properties for at least 1 year, and if you've owned them for at least 1 year, and you are declaring them on your tax return, big if. No, you guys do that. Now, I didn't say you declared all the income, and it's okay if you show a loss. That's fine. They just show up on the tax return. They have to show up for 1 year on the tax return. You have to show that you've collected rent for at least 1 year. Then GE will actually take the tax return, look at the deficit or the surplus, ignore everything else, and only qualify you based on that one number. Okay? So, in other words, let's say, for example, you showed a $1,200 a month loss on your portfolio. You with me? I'm an English major, so I keep my math real easy. 1,200 divided by 12 means it's $100 a month. Negative loss, right? I, as the mortgage broker, can take that $100 and say, now, can you imagine how much, remember I said the problem, if you're only taking 50% of the rent and adding it on to your income, but debt servicing 100% of the costs of all that property, imagine the deficit that that would be. But in this scenario, if your tax return showed $1,200 loss, I take $100 and I say it's like $100 a month credit card payment on your when I factor out your debt service ratios. And then we see if you qualify under the TDS, GDS. The rest of the entire 8-property portfolio is ignored and offset completely. Oh, no. Number out of the air, yeah. Irrelevant, the number of properties. No minimum number. 1 property, 2 properties. Well, let's say you have your portfolio. 8, 5, 6, 7, 9, whatever. Whatever number of properties it is, whatever your tax return shows, and I just randomly picked $1,200. Let's say that your tax return showed a $1,200 annual loss on your portfolio for tax purposes, right? Then all I would do is I would divide that by 12, so I have a monthly debt service, and I would just say, this is a monthly deficit of $100 a month. Can your personal income cover that? If it can, refi your house up to 90%. Okay? Major loophole there, guys. No. The question is whether you could use this on a high-ratio rental mortgage. What's the problem with that? As soon as you sandbox! You're over in this sandbox now, right? You changed the sandboxes. That's why I'm using the sandbox analogy, so that when I get these phone calls, I can say, different sandbox. Hopefully, you guys get it. Okay? Trying to help create some visual examples here. Okay, so Now, moving forward, okay, so this makes sense to you? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a huge warning. If you go into your bank and try to explain this to them, they won't know it exists. GE doesn't even know it exists, so don't expect your bank to know it exists. Okay? I know that sounds bizarre, but...
You'll get that look, you know, that dog when they hear a high sound and they start to do this and do back and forth. I've seen it. And you've gone and you've negotiated this special deal, and that's pretty awesome, Pete. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. So what's the bottom line? When you're putting together your portfolio, there's no right or wrong. Oh, well, I want to refinance my principal residence, take some money out to go buy more rental properties. That's okay, but do it on purpose, okay? You just need to have a plan. Make sure you do things on purpose, not by accident, okay? Just factor it into your plan. So, like, when I'm sitting down with a client and I see that their goal is to hit this many properties and they're three or four into it, the first question I have is, where does your principal residence fit into this picture? When I walk you through a creative visualization process, the first question I'm going to ask, some of you I did that with yesterday, do you see yourself living in the same house 5 years from now as you do today? Well, when you buy that house, is it going to be high ratio? Where does that principal residence fit into the program? Because, again, if I know ahead of time, remember the chess game? If I already know what the moves are ahead of time, okay, good. We're going to put some players in place here. We're going to put some pieces in place to prevent you from getting checkmated there, okay? Does that make sense? So, Don asked me to come up with another Rain exclusive, and this is kind of a quasi-exclusive here for Rain members. Who currently has a mortgage with 1 or 2 years left on it, and they're paying more than 5% interest on it right now? Okay? This is something that came up a little while ago, and actually on my last trip here, I got an email from a client, and I ended up playing golf the next day with one of the vice presidents of one of the banks. And I got this email saying a friend of mine wanted to refinance their principal residence mortgage, and they had 1 or 2 years left on it, and they had about a 6% interest rate, and they wanted to know whether it would be worth paying the penalty. So I was with this guy, and I said, you know, here's the penalty that they're going to pay on this. And he goes, well, typically what they do is a blend and extend, or you go get the best interest rate possible today. You know, and then you kind of figure out the math. Well, can you agree that can get complicated? It's one of the most difficult, even for me, it's still to this day probably one of the most difficult things to do a quick calculation on, to figure out, is it worth paying that penalty? Okay, so what we did, now there's also one of the most common things is a cashback. The problem with cashbacks is, and virtually every bank will have cashbacks, but what they do is they say, here, we'll give you a fully discounted rate, or we'll give you a cashback, but it's at posted interest rates, which are typically 1.4% higher. And I looked at that and I said, well, I'm smart enough to know that it's better to take the low disc, fully discounted over the long run than to take the cash back and pay posted rates. I'm going to be offside on that one. So again, the cashback's not a really good one, but we came up with a cashback with a twist. Literally, I'm not kidding you, we did this on a golf cart with the vice president. So a normal cashback is typically not worth it. So what we did is we split the difference. Well, why don't we give you a little bit of a cashback, and instead of giving you rock-bottom interest rates, we'll do a little bit higher and split the difference. Well, we sat down and we did the math on this, and here's how it worked out. Let's say you had a typical mortgage of $260,000, and this could be, for sandbox rules, this could be owner-occupied or revenue property. There's no distinction there. Okay, so you got 5-year term, renews in September 2006. Currently, an interest rate of 6.1%. You go to your bank and find out there's a $2,900 penalty, okay? So the question is, what are my options? Well, we could go to 4.5% today, but you're going to have to pay the full penalty by yourself. There's probably going to be a $300 discharge fee to boot, and you're going to have to figure out the math whether you're going to save enough money over the next 2 years to offset the cost of the penalty out of your pocket up front. Again, most people, because the math gets complicated, they get analysis paralysis, and they do nothing, okay? Or we could do a blend and extend, which means continue paying the 6% until it runs out, and then we'll just top it up with another 3 years at today's best rates. Again, kind of complicated. Here's the alternative. Pay a slightly higher than the best rate and get a cash back to cover all your costs. So what we did is we negotiated a deal where we could do something like this. Instead of paying 4.5%, which is the lowest rate they have available in the market today, we're going to take 4.8%, not post-it rates. We split the difference, right? We increase the interest rate just a little bit, but because the rate's a little higher, the bank can afford to give you a cash back. We get just enough cash back to cover all the costs associated with switching the mortgage. And the net effect is you go immediately from 6.1 down to 4.8. No cost to you whatsoever. No complicated math. No brainer. Make sense? So that's if you're in that situation, I would encourage you to take a look at this as an option. In my opinion, it's a very effective tool because, I mean, literally, okay, what do you want? Just switch, go from 6.1% 1 month down to 4.8% the next month. It's pretty straightforward. Okay, so today what we've looked at is make sure that your plan includes the timing of your principal residence. Okay, this is the three tips that I'm going to cover again that we talked about today. If you do decide to go high ratio with your principal residence after you've already created a portfolio, don't worry about it, but just make sure you're careful with the timing and you have to use that Genworth loophole. And the last tip was to use a cashback to cover any penalties that may be associated with switching from a current high interest rate into taking advantage of today's lower interest rates. And folks, you now have a major market advantage.